the bots.
We're here again, and we have so many games to talk about. And I'm really excited about it because, well, the Leafs have been on a heater, baby. It's like, you know, it's kind of weird that we're starting off the exact same way as last year. Like, it's a little bit of deja vu here because, well, we started off with a shit start to the season again, and then I have a fucking unreal November.
The weird thing is last November we had more wins, but this November we have more points.
Well, we had a bunch of OT losses, right?
Well, yeah, because last November we went 12-2, and this November we went 11-1-3.
Well, I mean, there's considering the amount of injuries to this team right now, it has been impressive.
Oh, as soon as we saw fucking TJ Brody down, we thought we were fucked. And then Riley joined him, and we're like,
we're really so fucked. and then we go on to play some of the best hockey we've played all year. I'm like,
It's been a weird... And it all started with that game against Jersey, but we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we got a lot of games to cover, so let's just dive on in. We got Pittsburgh on
Remembrance.
We got a lot of New Jersey, so some familiar names here. But the first game, and, you know, you love to see the tone get set by the fourth line.
Yeah, especially since depth scoring has been a big issue so far this season.
Well, I'm pretty sure this was Zach Aston-Reese's first goal as a Leaf.
Second.
Oh, was it? I was hoping this was his first because it's against his old team.
Yeah, it was his first game back against his old team, though.
So he was eager to score.
But it also seemed that after that, the Leafs kind of sagged.
Well, yeah, because then, you know, Malkin decided to
be Malkin.
Yeah.
You know, like, he dominated that game. Like, it was actually crazy. Like, I haven't seen Malkin dominate the Leafs like that in a long time.
I'm only a little upset because I have him in fantasy. But I'm still upset.
The silver linings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, if there was any player on the Penguins to do so, I'm happy it's Malkin.
I mean, he absolutely dominated. He got, 2 points? Yeah, like, just, like, every time he touched the puck that game, he looked dangerous, and that's never a good sign for the opposing team. You never want to be dealing with a dangerous-looking Malkin. Like,
oh, hell no.
Yeah.
When he's on his game, he's one of the best in the world.
Like, it was weird. Like, as much as the Leafs came back and tied it with Nylander later on, like, it didn't really feel
like we were ever going to win this one.
Yeah, even though they ended up out-shooting, I feel like part of that is score effects. Because, like, the Leafs really outshot them in the third. But, like, it was weird. It was a weird game. Weird game overall.
It was, and I mean, I don't really have much more to say. I mean, it's nice to see Nylander still producing. And, you know, especially on the power play with Riley and Mitchie. But overall, it wasn't the best.
Speaking of Nylander, I've had some guy in fantasy, one of my fantasy leagues, offer me 8 different trades to try and pry Nylander off my team.
Jeez.
8 different trades. This guy wants him so badly. Like, so much so that he offered me Panarin. For Nylander. And if it wasn't a goal-heavy league where Nylander has literally doubled the goals of Panarin right now, I would have done it. But because it's a goal-heavy league, and every person he's offered has, like, 5-7 goals, and Nylander's one with 13, I'm like, your two guys combined don't even replace the goals that Nylander's giving me. That's not even worth it. So, like, Nylander has been buzzing.
Well, dude, why don't you save it for the fantasy segment, huh?
I will, but he's not my underrated guy, you know, just saying. It was just crazy then.
I know. I'm Team Neanderthals. Like, we are...
I fucking love that name still.
It's great. It's if I ever draft Nylander again, that's my go-to name now. It's got to be.
Although I like the Willy Wagon.
The Willy Wagon's also funny. Anyway, let's move aside because we got better games to talk about than in this loss.
We head into Vancouver, and that was a much closer game than it had any right being because of how
We had a horrible start. Like, we just started flat. I mean, you let
just
2 goals
in. Soft first period.
Yeah, like, you can't let them bully you around like that in the first period. 2 goals in the first period, and you guys did nothing? Unacceptable. But then, what a second!
The second was the rest of the game, basically.
But, okay, well, there's one goal of the three that stands out to me, and that was the Jordy Benn goal.
Oh, yeah. Who the fuck saw that coming? Jordy Benn, the offensive dynamo. Like, what? Oh, yeah.
Coming in as a relief guy, and he's just been solid.
Like, he was exactly what we needed when TJ Brody went down, which made it that much harder than he went down.
Yeah, like, he didn't last very long, but he was effective for his few games.
And I guess that Van game was the first game where Riley was down. No.
That was the Islanders game. I know, because I was there.
Right.
It was extra sad.
Oh, right, right, right. Okay, we got some time to go then. But no, that was Brody. That was Brody's first game out, because then there's Jamie Benn.
Yes, that's why Ben drew into the lineup. Right. But hey, he impressed. And, you know, you love to see the Selly from him and how he got, like, such a brace from Matthews. And, you know, you love to see that.
That's the kind of dude I want in the lineup come playoff time.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I love Mitchie's comments of, like, he looks like a lumberjack.
And then Ben's comments to follow. He's like, yeah, I'll take lumberjack. I like flannels and chopping wood.
He's got the big beard. And it was also kind of crazy with the Muzzin injury. We replaced Muzzin.
He literally is another Muzzin.
Yeah, like, he's literally Muzzin 2.0. He's got the beard. He plays defense. He's settling, quiet on the back end. Like, you know, like exactly what Muzzin used to be.
There you go.
But it was a good win. Like, as much as there was a terrible start, and it should not have been a close game, at least they pulled it out.
The only reason that we won that is because we are a much, much better team than Vancouver.
And we got to throw some love and credit to Eric Sjogren, who played really solid that game.
Yeah, you know what? He was thrown in a tough spot to essentially be our starting goalie for a while there.
Yeah.
And I mean, he handled it well. So
27 saves, 931. You're not going to complain about those numbers, even after a tough first period, too.
Yeah. Well, he got no help in the first period, so there's
well,
that.
Well, I mean, we'll be throwing him under the bus here shortly, so.
Oh, yeah. But then, you know, it was the return of Mr. Matt Murray.
Oh, I guess his old team, too.
Yeah, which is kind of like, you know, you can't write it any better than that.
No, and fuck, did he ever play well.
What a game. What a game Matt Murray had. But on top of that, I think, you know, the other honorable mention would be Michael Bunting had probably his best game of the year.
Yeah, I would say so. Especially from just like an offensive points total, you know, perspective. I mean, 2 goals, yeah. 1 assist. Like,
well, I mean, he's struggled out of the gate to have the same offensive production that he had last year. So it was nice to see him get on the board a couple times.
I feel like part of that, though, and he's getting a bit of a bad rap for it, is because Matthews also wasn't really producing a 5-on-5, you know? And so when you're throwing out Matthews, Marner, Bunting, and two of those guys are not performing at 5-on-5, the guy that's the role player on that line is going to look a lot worse, you know? Yeah. So, like, I do eventually think he'll end up back on that line, but obviously he's still got to be better.
Oh, for sure.
But I think we got to give him a bit of a benefit of the doubt just based on the fact that his two linemates who are superstars were not performing in 5-on-5 where he is going to be most effective because he's not getting a ton of power play time, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, this was we had just faced Pittsburgh so recently, so this was revenge time.
And it was good to see adjustments made by the team.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? They were clamped all over Malkin and Crosby. Like, Crosby almost broke his fucking foot kicking.
Oh, no, that wasn't this game.
What was that, this game?
That was the next game. We got three Pitt.
Jesus Christ, we faced them too many times.
I know.
The thing is, we won't play them again the rest of the year. Like, this is all
Our games. We got them all out in like a week. Fuck. But no, it was JT who opened the scoring, like he's been doing, you know, all year.
Man, what a beast.
He's been a stud.
Guy's on pace for 40 goals again. Like, and everyone's like, oh, he's not a 40 goal scorer. It's like, shut down.
No, he's a 47 goal scorer.
Yeah, almost scored. Should have scored 50 that year.
No, it was great to see him, like, get on the board, like, in multiple ways, because even on the Marner goal, he had the pass to set up Riley, who gave it to Mitchie, who buried. And, I mean, it was, you know it's going to be a good night when our big boys are playing like that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And in the first period, too. And I think, you know, they realized, well, shit, we had a shit first period against Vancouver. We need to start strong here.
Yeah. And I'm glad they did. And that's something they've been better at here over the last few weeks. Especially, well, I guess November as a whole was starting on time. Like, there wasn't a lot of games this month where we were like, for fuck's sake, guys, figure it out. Like, there was a couple, right? But if you compare it to October, it was just such a drastic improvement from a starting on time perspective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest story from this game was the return of Matt Murray. And how well he played.
Because everybody was so good.
Nobody really knew what to expect. Yeah, like, it's not like he didn't face any shots. He got peppered with shots. Yeah. They outshot us.
35 saves and 946. That's
really good.
Unreal. Unreal. Elite. As Mr. Keefe has referred to multiple times over this stretch, he has provided elite goaltending. Elite. And it... I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, especially when it comes to goalies, okay? So, obviously, Matt Murray was on the Senators last year, got absolutely lit the fuck up constantly, because the Senators, well, they suck. Then Jack Campbell had an unreal start to the year and kind of fell off a cliff for the last year, but he was still getting wins, even when he was letting in 3 goals in the game. And then he goes to Edmonton, and he can't get a win. Are the Leafs just so good defensively they make goalies better? Or are Matt Murray and is Matt Murray just better than Jack Campbell?
Well, I think it's both. Matt Murray is better than Jack Campbell. I don't think that's up for debate. If Matt Murray's healthy, he's better than Jack Campbell. It's
what about Samsonov?
I would say Samsonov's more comparable with Jack Campbell. He's less proven than Matt Murray, obviously. But I think with a good decor in front of him, he's clearly had a lot more success than in Washington, because that Washington decor isn't, well, actually it's a lot of the same guys that won the cup,
but that was 2018.
Yeah, the problem is they're aging now, and
yeah, like their best defense is John Carlson. Beyond that, who do they even have?
Like Dmitry Orlov.
Can you list another one? That's the end of the list.
That's all I've got.
Right, like, and so like when you a bunch of nobodies on who are not great defensively, and like, and you lose a top line center like Backstrom. I'm still surprised that Washington decided to give up on Samsonov. Especially because of how young he is and how good he started. He's like, because he had a couple of down years where your team was not good defensively, you're going to give up on a 24, 25? Like a relatively young goaltender who had a lot of potential. And you took him in the first round. So it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What a waste.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you remember from our preseason episode, I made one pretty bold prediction that Matt Murray would be the starting goaltender by American Thanksgiving.
Well, that's still not the case. You haven't won that.
But American Thanksgiving came, and Samsonov was not healthy. And doesn't matter how, but Matt Murray was the starting goaltender.
Fuck right off. Like, they have almost identical numbers. It's actually kind of fucked. Like, Samsonov is second in the league for goals against average. In the league. And Matt Murray is 8th. So, like, both of our goalies are top 10 in goals against average. And then they're literally next to each other in save percentage. Matt Murray is 4th at 927. Anil Samsonov is 924 at 5th. So, like, both of them are dominating. Realistically, we have a 1A and a 1A right now. We don't really have a starter because both of them are performing way better than we thought. And that's, like, the most ideal situation. Like, think about before the year. Everyone was like, wow, the Leafs would be lucky if these guys combined for a 9-12. And both of them are significantly outperforming that. Significantly. You know?
Well, so, the question marks around Murray have always just been his health.
Well, it was kind of for both, though. Really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with Samsonov there, I think it allows Murray the rest he needs to stay healthy.
Sjogren, too. Think about it. Yeah. If Sjogren didn't win a couple of those games and he kept losing every game and was getting lit up, like, we would have seen fucking Petruzzelli in the fucking net.
Yeesh. Well, look, I'm gonna say this right now as a hot take. Sjogren is the best third-string goaltender in the league.
Ooh.
Prove me wrong. Because what other third-string goalie has actually seen games?
Fair enough. Fair enough. I still think that's a relatively bold take.
I stand by it. I mean, I never once felt nervous with Sjogren in the net.
He definitely... As long as he tends the goal...
Yeah,
as long as he stays in his fucking net, yes, I would agree. But as soon as he leaves his net, he's a fucking tire fire. Like, terrifies me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as soon as he, touches...
He's a goalie.
As soon as he touches the puck outside the crease, I want to scream. So, like, that's something maybe he's got to go talk to Marty Brodeur for, like, a year. Or, like, hang him with Ed Belfour for some time. Or go to a Mike Smith camp or something. But he's got to figure out how to handle the fucking puck and not give it away every time. Because the amount of times he's done is absurd.
Well... Dude, also, if your third string goalie, if their worst problem is that they're not good at handling the puck outside of their net, you're in pretty good shape.
Well, unless he's giving the puck away for a game winning goal.
Yeah, but that's an easy fix. Just stay in the net.
Tend the goal!
Holy shit. I got to bring it up now because it drove me insane. Markstrom, fuck, man.
Oh, man.
Bro, he was my second overall pick in fantasy, and I am regretting it so hard. But I watched highlights where he chased a guy at the blue line to do a diving poke check, and it got around and went in. And all the comments on Instagram were, if you're a goaltender,
ten the goal! Well, literally, like, I picked in one of my leagues, I picked Vasilevsky as my first goalie, and I picked Markstrom as my second goalie. I think I'd be set.
Yeah, you would think so.
And I was like, and his first week of the season goes, okay, I got to go pick up Linus Allmark because Markstrom is a fucking just not reliable. Like, it's been bad. And the crazy thing is across the league, it's been bad. Like, a lot of goalies just not performing. Like, Cal Peterson just got sent to the minors.
I saw that. He cleared waivers, too.
Yeah, like the Kings are in a playoff spot, and they just sent their goalie to the minors. And Quick just let in fucking 6 goals on like 10 shots and had a 12 GAA for a night. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole league is crazy right now.
Well, you know who's probably fucking kicking themselves for not re-signing? It's the Blues are probably kicking themselves for not re-signing Ville Husso.
Husso, yeah.
Because
Bennington's been fine.
He's been fine, but Husso... has the most shutouts in the league right now on Detroit.
Well, and Detroit is also 9 spots ahead of St. Louis.
Well, here's the other thing. It's, you know, we mentioned, you know, the goaltending for the Leafs. Like, were the Leafs just that good defensively? This is like the flip side of the coin. Is Husso that good as a goalie that it doesn't matter who's in front of him?
Well, to be fair, it's really difficult for a lot of teams to overcome one of their best players having no goals for the first, like, 15 games. Like, Ryan O'Reilly started off the season...
Oh, one of the worst starts I've seen.
Like, I had to drop him on my league because he was just it was a liability.
Well, he was a free agent in our league for...
Well, yeah, because he had nothing. Nothing. Like, no assists... Not even a secondary assist, like, zilch, nada.
How do you not have a secondary assist that long into the season?
Like, it was absolutely, it was bewildering to me, and I probably held on to him longer than I should have, because it was just like, what are you? Like, I picked you as one of my top two centers, and you just took a big old shit all over my fantasy. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on in St. Louis. It's been a weird year. I kind of love it. And like, New Jersey's in first place in the fucking league.
Speaking of New Jersey, that's who's next on our docket here. And who saw them being this good? Nobody. Nobody saw them being this good.
Nobody did. Nobody did.
Literally nobody.
And I mean, it's like, that was the game where I kind of expected the Leafs to lose. The Devils were on such a heater. The Leafs were playing kind of inconsistent at the time. Like, that was the game where I'm like, I'm not that surprised.
But, okay, but we took it to OT, right? And I'm like, what is with us, and why are we so shit at overtime this year?
We overthink the play and don't make the easy play.
Well, you want to hear my take on it, is I think we undervalue keeping possession. If you don't have possession in 3-on-3, you're screwed. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And there have been so many times where we'll try to make the difficult play, well, kind of touching on your point, making the difficult play instead of the simple one. But it leads to you losing the puck, and then you don't get possession for a minute or two. They set up, and they score.
Yeah, I think to build on your point, the one thing I kind of agree with to that end is, like, I find oftentimes, even when they are focusing on possession, when they get into the offensive zone, they try to force an offensive play. They try to make something super cute and fancy, or they try to take a shot just for the sake of doing it, instead of, like, taking it back and resetting. And that's the one thing I notice a lot of other teams do. And I said this to you this week, is that 3-on-3 overtime has become soccer. It's all about possession. Like, the lines don't matter anymore. It's no longer about, like, trying to pin someone in their offensive end. It's just keep the puck as long as you can, try to catch them on the change, and capitalize on an opportunity. Exactly. That's soccer. That's soccer in a fucking nutshell. Hold on to the ball as long as you can until you get a chance to score. 3-on-3 has become soccer, and I kind of hate it now. It's like, 3-on-3 overtime used to be so exciting because it was chaos. It was absolute chaos, and now they've coached it into the ground.
Well, do you expect anything less?
No, I don't. I don't. One-on-one? Maybe they should just do what they do in some of the tournaments, where they do 3-on-3, or like 5-on-5, 4-on-4, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, 1-on-1. Have you ever seen those tournaments?
I played in one of those.
Some of those are crazy. See, when some people just go 1-on-1 in a tournament for the win and, like, for the finals or some shit.
Oh,
like,
talk about stressful.
Holy fuck, the pressure that you'd deal with in that situation. Oh my goodness. Like, I've scored OT winners. That's pressure enough to be on the ice at overtime. You mean when you're the only person, you fuck up, the person's going on a breakaway the other way? Like, whew. Pressure. But, you know. It'd be better than letting you just hold on to this puck for fucking 3 minutes until I wait for you guys to change and just get a random odd man rush and go and win. Like, it's, I don't know. 3-on-3 overtime has been bothering me for the last couple of years because it's been overcoached, in my opinion.
Well, the Leafs need to get better at figuring out 3-on-3 because we've been garbage at it this year. I don't think we've won a single overtime.
No, we haven't. We're like 0-5.
Terrible. But oh, still a good performance from Matt Murray, you know, still keeping the save percentage above 900, faced a lot of shots, so.
Honestly, that was not a bad game for the Leafs either. I think that was just we ran into a hot team, and we just couldn't get one in. Like, yeah. Who was it? Vanecek played really, really solid that game. Like, it did not, like, that last, like, even when Nylander scored, like, we had to work our asses off to get that goal. So, like, I'm not that surprised we lost that. I mean, they were in the midst of a huge heater. They continued that heater on until later on.
Well, then we moved on to a much worse team in Buffalo, and we slapped them.
As we should.
Because I think they took that OT loss to heart, and they were like, fuck you, Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo was also in the middle of a fuck. In the, what's the opposite of a heater? A stinker?
A tire fire.
A tire fire, like, that's what the hell. They were, like, they were on a, the Leafs handed them their eighth straight loss.
They were on a seven-game
losing streak. Just getting ripped.
Well, I mean, we just came out of the gate like three goals, but the standout there is a shorthanded goal from Mark Giordano.
Oh, yeah. And, like, Mitchie. Mitchie, ew.
Oh, Mitchie.
But also, how controversial. I did not think that was going to be a goal.
Which?
The Giordano goal. Because that was the one where, like, the net got knocked off and it, like, trickled in after the fact or whatever.
Yeah, but it was already going in.
I know, but, like, those are the goals that typically go against the Leafs. Like, that's typically where they're like, nope.
Oh, nope. We can't say that, Kian. We have another New Jersey game coming up.
Do we?
Yeah. And there were a lot of calls that New Jersey fans weren't too thrilled with. But we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Wait, no, that's this game.
No, it's not this game. This is Buffalo.
Sorry, I'm an idiot. All right, Buffalo. But yeah, that was a funny goal. I did not think it was going to count, but I'm glad it did.
There you go. And Cale Yarncrow on the board before his injury. Sad to see him out, but...
I mean, at least Nick Robertson would get in the lineup more often.
Yeah, exactly. You know, silver lining. A lot of them today. But, you know, Nylander's still producing. The power play was buzzing. But, you know, JT and Nylander were... And I'll say Marner as well, were the standouts in this game. But every one of the big guys got their name on the score sheet. Like, my only Tavares, Marner, Riley...
My Matthews. Only complaint with this game is our penalty killing.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you gave up two power play goals. I mean,
it's not ideal.
We gave up a lot of power plays.
Yeah, well, they were 2 for 6 on a PK. Like, that's still not, like, that's not where we want, you know?
No, we never want to be giving up 6 power plays in a game.
Well, that's been a problem all season, to be honest, at least being undisciplined.
But then, you know, what seems to be the constant the last three games? Matt Murray.
And William Nylander.
Yeah, but 941 save percentage, 34 shots against. He's been solid, man.
Super solid. Like, to the point where, like, all the haters in the offseason, like, all the writers... Like, the amount of people, it was so funny. All the people, like, are ranking, like, goaltenders out of all the Canadian teams, and the Leafs were ranked last. All the goaltenders in the Atlantic Division, the Leafs were ranked last. And in both of those situations, the Leafs now have the best goaltending tandem of all of them. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I, like, all of those people deserve, like, need to give Matt Murray an apology. Because, like, this guy's come back from injury and just stood on his head.
Yeah.
And been unreal. Unreal.
Well, the next game we have is the one I was at. And right.
And we lost Riley.
We did lose Riley. And, well, I'm going to be completely honest, I was too drunk to pay attention to the game.
That's what happens. How many drinks did you have?
Well, that's what happens when you get invited up to a box.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and do it.
Well, then all of a sudden beers are flowing, and, you know, when the owner of the box asks you to do tequila shots with them, you don't say no. And, well, let's just say the second.
You just say how many.
Let's just say the second and third were a little fuzzy.
A little blurry.
So you probably know more about this game than I do, even though I was there.
This was like a classic Islanders game. You know, or like not a, like really not very eventful, super defensive. And
I mean, we still peppered them with shots.
Yeah, but there was a lot of shots on the outside. There was just, kind of a boring game.
It was a boring game. That's probably why I got shit faced instead. But and then at the end of the day, this is another OT loss.
Yeah. Because we decided to give the puck away, as we do.
Poor puck management on 3-on-3.
And, like, that was the one where it's Tavares, right? Just, like, try to make it a 5-foot pass instead of just getting the puck out. And ends up in the back.
Yeah, that was a tough one, and that one was Sjogren.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well.
What can he do? Matt Murray can't play every night.
Yeah, and like that's the thing is like we're at a point now where it's likely going to be back and forth between Murray and Samsonov since they're both healthy and both really playing well. So I'm curious to see who, if any, like truly take the reins. You know.
Well, now we're on to this game got more media attention than any other in the NHL this year, I think, because something happened that I've never seen happen. I don't think anybody's seen happen.
Never. In any level of sport ever.
Three disallowed goals in the same game, all against the same team. But they were legit.
All honestly, like a lot of people were saying the second one was the least obvious.
Deck the goalie and then put it in. Like
to me, it was the first goal to me was the most debatable.
Yeah,
the first goal definitely was interference because like you literally stopped him from being able to shift his foot. Like your foot was on his blade, so like it is goalie interference, but it's the only debatable one.
Yeah,
the second goal, you literally knocked the goalie over and then scored.
But it was also because he like Matt Murray came out to play it. And I can't remember who hit him, but he took the short side and tried to go between Murray and the net and hit Murray. So if he went a long way around, it would have been fine.
See, but the thing is that I actually think that if someone other than that guy scored, it would have been more goal. But it's the fact that the guy who hit Murray, the guy who took him out of the play, ended up being the one to tip the puck in.
Oh.
So it's like you literally took advantage of your own fuck-up to get the goal. Of course, that's going to be called back.
That was textbook goalie interference. Yeah, that was one I actually knew.
Yeah, like that was unquestionably goalie interference. And the people who are complaining about it, I'm like, you're a fucking psycho. And then the last one, that was the most blatant kick we've seen all fucking year.
That one, I actually wasn't sure about the rule. I thought because it deflected off a leaf, it was going to count. Mm-mm. I thought it had to be a direct kick in the net, but no, apparently the rule is if it's a kicking motion, it doesn't matter how it gets in.
Nope, it does not. It's a kicking motion. And his foot was off the ice like a full
kick. Well, to his defense, like he wasn't trying to score with this foot. He was trying to pass it over.
Yeah.
Just an unfortunate
If his teammate had tapped the puck there, that's a goal.
But before that controversial play happened, how about that save from Matt Murray? Like, holy shit.
Ew.
Diving across, huge glove save. So I was actually really happy for Matt Murray that, you know, that didn't count. And actually, well, I was thrilled to be a Matt Murray owner in fantasy for this game because three goals against that didn't count. All of a sudden, his goals against average is one. 35 shots against it. He's got a 971. Let's go.
Yeah, huge game. And ending, what was it, 14 in a row?
Oh, but let's take a moment here to talk about the Devils fans. Sorry, your 13 game or 14 game win streak wasn't good enough for you. You had to throw full beers on the ice. Full beers? Those beers are expensive, man.
First of all, that's a big fucking waste of beer. How dare you?
Oh,
how dare you? I would have drank that beer.
Seriously,
it's just rude.
I know it's American beer, but we'd still drink it.
But like,
just need more of it.
I always had respect for Devils fans.
Not anymore. That
respect is gone. It's gone. Like what? Like through their glory years, where they played a very boring brand of hockey and won a lot of games.
Never known them to act out. They pulled a Philly.
They did. They pulled a Philly. 100%. That's the best comparison. They pulled a fucking Philly. And it's like I know that New Jersey's not that far from Pennsylvania, but like, come on, I expect better from you. I expect better. Like, that was just classless.
You caused the Leafs to go back to the room because, well, fair enough. I mean, a full beer coming at you will do some damage.
Yeah, even if you got a helmet on. Like, that's just, like, that's not cool. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that. Like,
the crowd should have got a delay of game penalty.
See, but the thing is, I know that, like, there could be fans who come at us in the comments and be like, oh, Leaf fans are throwing shit on the ice all the time. We don't throw shit that's going to hurt people. We threw, like, fucking waffles and jerseys.
People threw their jerseys, yeah. Which, I mean, if you're throwing a $300 jersey on the ice, then that's just more a you problem.
Yeah, like, but, like, no one's throwing fucking the $13 beer they just bought at the game onto the fucking ice.
No.
I'm drinking every fucking sip of that beer because it cost me a fucking arm and a leg. like that's just ridiculous. How rich are you that you could just chuck your beers on the ice?
It's New Jersey. You're not that rich. They would be in New York otherwise.
Oh my god, yes. That was such a fucking savage comment. I love it.
Hey, how do you piss off New Jersey people? I mean, you just say, well, you're not New York.
How does it feel to not be in New York? What's that skyline look like?
It's nice enjoying it from the other side.
How much time do you spend in the bridge or the tunnel?
All right.
Well, but it was super satisfying to end their streak and have their fans be so fucking like just itchy about it.
I think that's why everybody was so surprised, because it's like, you guys just came off such a heater. You have no right to be pissed off.
None. Where like everything went your way for fucking 13 games or 14 games, whatever it was. And one game it doesn't, all of a sudden you're going to fucking flip on your head.
If you were on like a 13 game losing streak and then you had three goals called back and you acted like that, that's more understandable.
I would get it. The frustration overcame and I get it.
You have no right to be frustrated.
No, none.
Your team has been excellent this year.
Yeah, way better than you could have ever hoped for. Like, Jack Hughes has been a beast. Vitek Vanacek has been a revelation.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I mean, to be fair, I had him in fantasy last year on Washington. He was really solid. But, like, Washington's defense sucked. Similar to Samsonov, you know? Like, they went back and forth all year last year because Washington couldn't defend. So, like, I'm not that surprised that he's that good, but I guess I am surprised at how well that team as a whole has performed. I was kind of expecting the Corey Schneider situation, you know, where like they have decent goaltending but no offense to back it up, and they've just put it all together. So absolutely no business, reason to be as just ridiculous as they were. I don't have any other word for it. They were ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and then we took our talents to Minnesota.
What a weird game. Who the fuck, whose idea was to make it 2 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. Central on a Friday?
Yeah, I mean,
in Minnesota.
I guess it was Black Friday, right? So everybody had it off.
True. I did not think of that. That makes sense. All right.
I stand corrected.
But still, 1 p.m. on a Friday? That still seems...
Yeah, strange. I guess because they are Central Time. 2 p.m. for us, which I don't know.
I had to like watch it while I was in meetings. Like literally I was in a call camp and I'm here like watching the game while they're listening to someone's cold calls.
Well, the bright side is we pissed off Marc-Andre Fleury so bad. Holy shit, was he losing it.
Like, and he's not a guy that gets that angry that often.
No. And so, like, after that first period, he broke his stick over the post. And he was livid.
Not pleased.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that Zach Aston-Reese goal was fucking bad.
Greasy.
Really
greasy.
Bad.
Greasy. As pretty much as greasy as it gets, that goal.
Yeah. He scored from, like, the corner.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like,
was
or, like bad. The hash marks. But, yeah, realistically... No NHL goalie should be getting scored on from there.
Unless their name is Michael Hutchinson.
I said NHL goalie.
Sorry. Please, a professional goalie.
Well, I mean, we had Cali Yarncrow getting on the board again. Mitch Marner continuing the point streak.
Victor Mete getting on the board.
Good to see, because he's been trash otherwise.
I don't know. He my biggest issue with him is that he is indecisive.
Which is terrible for defense.
Yeah. Like, for a guy who's as fast and has as much skill as he does, he's way more indecisive than I feel like he should be. Like, I feel like he has all the pieces to be a good defenseman, but then he takes an extra second when he doesn't have it. You know? And like, we've played with defensemen like that over our careers, where it's like, oh man, like if you just made the right choice, you'd be a good defenseman. You have all the skills, all of them, you know. And so like, I don't want to give up on the guy, but I can see why he's been out on the rotation pretty consistently. And realistically, he's getting outplayed by Matt Holloway right now.
Yeah, Mac Hollowell's been pretty good.
For a guy who's 5'9 playing defense in the NHL, yeah.
He's been, you don't notice him that much, and that's exactly what you want.
Love it. Love it. Thanks. That sounds great. Like, if I don't notice you as a defenseman, you are doing your job. So good on him.
That's exactly it. But we'll move on to the third bout with the Penguins.
Right. This is the one where Crosby almost broke his foot.
Well, yeah, because of how we started off. The Penguins made one of the worst line changes I've seen in hockey. Matthews just has a clear line to give it to Marner, who goes on a breakaway. And you don't let Mitch Marner go on a breakaway 40 seconds into the game.
What a disgusting move, though.
Oh, gross.
Ew. Oh, my God. Like, I like fell off my couch when I saw the goal. I was like, whoa, Mitchie.
But
like,
that's where Crosby had a little fit.
But he was, well, because he was the one who led that change. He was the first one heading off. I was like, bro, that might be one of the biggest fuck-ups I've ever seen Sidney Crosby do.
Like, yeah, that was bad.
Brutal. Brutal.
But then Pontus Holmberg scores.
What a guy.
Wasn't that his first NHL goal?
I think it was, yeah. I mean, it says two here, but I guess it's not. It was his second NHL goal.
All right.
Yeah, but I love what Keith said about him, where he was saying how like
doesn't seem to make any mistakes.
But specifically, he was saying with the rookies, he typically takes them aside to show them video of their mistakes, and the fact that he just can't find any with Pontus Holmberg.
Holmberg's probably sitting there like, "Told you,"
you know. And like, as a guy, you're throwing into a third line checking role. That's exactly what you want. Like, obviously, you'd love a little bit more offense, but at the end of the day, if he's going to be super reliable defensively, I'm fine with that, right? Like, this has been the problem the last few years, is that our third and fourth line were defensive liabilities. No, last year third line was fine, but the fourth line was a defensive liability. They were unplayable in a lot of times. In close games, we could not put the fourth line on the ice. We couldn't. When you had Wayne Simmonds and Jason Spezza and fucking Kyle Clifford out there on the third, fourth line, that you cannot compete. You cannot shut down the other team's top guys, right? But if you can throw out Pontus Holmberg there on your third, and then you got what's his name, the German guy on the back on the fourth line. I can't remember his name right now. It's slipping my brain.
We have a German guy.
Isn't he German? Fourth line, he played third line center last year. David Kampf. Isn't he German?
He's not German.
Is he not?
He's like Czech.
Oh, well, that my bad. Sorry, Kampf. David.
There's not that many Germans in the NHL.
He's from that realm of the world.
So he's European. Good one. Good one, Kian. Anyway,
yeah, he is Czech. Fuck, I'm such a dumbass.
See, I was right.
But either way, like, we have him on the fourth line. He like settles that whole line out and makes them playable. And Pontus Holmberg has kind of done the same thing on the third line. And so I appreciate that level of defensive responsibility. And realistically, if fucking Alex Kerfoot hasn't been a pile of garbage all year, then he probably had more points. Him and Engvall, too, really. Kerfoot and Engvall have both been piles of garbage offensively. And Pontus Holmberg's there just being a fucking buoy for them to keep them afloat in the deep end. So if either of them can show up offensively, I wouldn't be surprised to see Holmberg get a few extra points.
There you go. But you know, it's always nice to finish the season series off against the Penguins with a win.
Big old dub. A dominating one, too, at that.
Speaking of dominating wins, we did the same thing against Detroit. We pumped Ville-Husso.
Yeah.
My fantasy didn't appreciate it because, well, more so my fantasy didn't appreciate the Red Wings pulling him. That fucked me.
Yeah. It would have been okay. Imagine how I felt having Jonathan Quick in that 9-8 game with the fucking...
Oof! I saw that game. Like, you wouldn't want either goal.
Yeah, I had Quick who got pulled for Cal Peterson. So he let in like 5 goals on 8 shots or something stupid. And had
the goals against average?
A 12.9 goals against average.
Oof. And I thought the 8 goals against average.
12.9. I've never seen it before. And it held. It just held. At least they'll be more get more starts now with Peterson in the minors.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, with this, like, Moritz Seider's a beast, so, you know, he opened the scoring. But, you know, he Austin is Matthews is a bigger beast.
Yeah, I mean, hell of a play from Bunting there.
Oh, yeah.
Hell of a play.
But, you know, I think the big story in this one was Mitch Marner is still going.
What is going on? What's this guy eating? Maybe he's just spending enough time with Zeus, his dog, who we just hear about every day now. Like, I was watching the Leafs get interviewed today, and every single person got asked about their dogs.
Well, Mitch Marner showed up to one of the games wearing socks with Zeus on them.
Yeah, apparently there were gifts from his fiance that same day. Had to wear them. Apparently they were supposed to be Christmas presents, but he wore them early.
Well, clearly it's working for him, so keep wearing them.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, just fucking keep doing it. Just keep doing it. But, like, if you could do it a little earlier in the game instead of us stressing out about you getting an empty netter, that'd be great.
And you know what? To close off our game coverage, we have a beautiful win against the Sharks, where I had just the best bet on this game.
I'm honestly mad about it.
We'll get to that on the next segment, but let's talk about this game first. Austin Matthews starts the scoring. Gotta love it, but, you know, the Sharks scored not that much later. Then, you know, second period, well, that was the second period. First period was kind of boring. Third period, Pierre Engvall with the goal. And I, like, this entire game, I was fuming over Pierre Engvall. I thought he was having a terrible game. He didn't seem engaged. And then he scores a pretty nice goal. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll change my tone.
As much as I've been ripping on Kerfoot this year, too, this was probably his best game of the year. And that Engvall goal, pretty much entirely on Kerfoot. A perfectly placed shot off the pad, which is like a shot off the pad pass to Engvall where he could bury it. Like, really solid play from Kerfoot there.
Also, a shout out to Kerfy for giving Mitchie that second attempt on the empty net to tie for the record of the longest point streak in Leafs history with Eddie Olczyk and Daryl Sittler. Those are two
legendary names. Legendary names. Do you remember when we met Eddie Olczyk?
Yeah, Eddie Olczyk's a beauty.
Absolutely. Back when he was coaching the Penguins.
Yeah.
It's a throwback.
We got a signature on a jersey somewhere.
What's that, 2005?
Didn't we have an Eddie Olczyk hockey card that he signed?
Yeah, we did. Because he played for the Leafs. We had a Leafs Eddie Olczyk card, and we got him to sign for sure.
It's wicked.
It was very wicked. I mean, and like, you could tell how emotional Mitch was after the game there. And,
oh,
like,
yeah. And I love this. Did you see the Sully in the room?
Yeah. Even just seeing Maddie on the bench, I mean, like, let's fucking go! Just losing his shit. Like,
did you see Maddie's interview afterwards?
Yeah, like, he's just so, you can tell how happy he is for him. And I just, like, that's what makes me believe that Maddie ain't going anywhere.
Well, did you see his comments after he missed the first one? He was like, well, he missed that first step, empty net, and we're all like, what are you doing, man?
Apparently fucking Bunting got mad at him on the bench for passing it to him. He's like, what are you doing? Oh, man, it was hilarious. But they got it done. Like, that was a sloppy game as a whole. Big shout out to Mac Hallwell for amazing play for Matthew's goal. Amazing shot pass. But generally pretty sloppy game overall. To come up with a dub still is pretty impressive.
Definitely. And you know what? It's always happy to see Mitch Marner enjoy one of the parts of being a Toronto kid playing for the Maple Leafs. Because I know he's hasn't always dealt with the pressures of playing in Toronto all that well. So it's really important to enjoy these parts, because these are the parts that are special.
It's also kind of crazy to, like, see this happening back-to-back years, where, like, last year we were all cheering on Maddie breaking the goal record, and now this year we're cheering on Marner breaking the point record. It's kind of crazy. Well, we're witnessing history.
We absolutely are. And you know what? We're going to move on into a brand new segment. And this segment is called Betting with the Pods.
Woo!
And we're super excited to announce that this segment is brought to you by our good friends over at BetStamp. And if you've never heard of BetStamp before, it is a super handy tool for anybody who likes to, you know, throw a few bucks at a sports book and see what happens. And for those who don't know what it is kind of like the Trivago of sports betting, where it's comparing all the different odds across all the major sports books in Ontario. And so you can get the best one. I don't know about you, Kian, but I didn't even realize that the sports books had different odds. I thought it was just like, oh yeah, Vegas has odds and that's what.
Yeah, I totally thought it was unanimous. I did not realize that different bet books would be giving me better odds. So like the ability to shop those different odds is actually so clutch. And the fact that I can like log all my bets into the one app so that if I'm managing seven different books at once, I have it all in one place is just so convenient. So convenient.
Oh yeah, and I mean, we saw firsthand the difference it makes because Kian and I, we both bet on the same game,
same exact prop. Like we did the exact same bet, basically.
But we used different sports books, and I ended up making more money than Kian.
Yeah, because I had a +110, and you had what
+127.
127, right?
So like significantly better.
And that's a difference in what? I think you ended up winning like $100 and ended up winning like 42 or something like that. Like it's a big difference.
No, well, it all depends on how much you put down, right? I think we both put $20 down. So, I mean, my payout was like $45 or 45 and like 30 cents and yours was like 42.
Yeah.
So,
but it's a difference. That adds up over time too.
Well, it also adds up if you're using, you know, bigger numbers. So if you put $100 down, that number increases, right? So
also I thought like if you're going to choose the, like you've already made a choice, I'm going to make this bet today, you're better off looking at where you can find the best odds. You're going to make the most on the money you're going to put down regardless, you know? So if you're going to make that bet regardless, like why would you not take advantage of the best odds? It just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. So shout out to BetStamp for giving us the tool to, you know, shop around these different odds that, you know, a lot of people, quite frankly, aren't aware of that, you know. So it's good to be able to get the best value for your money. Now, whatever gambling you plan on doing, do it responsibly, please. You know, if you don't have the money, don't spend it on gambling. There are better things. You know, go buy some food or something. Yeah. But I got to say, I made one of the riskiest bets. I only put $10 down. Because it's a risky bet. Going on what I said, you don't want to put a lot of money down on a risky bet. But the odds were +1400, and it was to predict the score of the Sharks Leafs game. And of course, I'm going to pick the Leafs to win. But I predicted a 3-1 victory, and guess what we got, baby? A 3-1 victory. So that $10 turned into $150.
That's a big dub.
So you know, thank you, BetStamp, for giving me the best odds I could.
Absolutely. So then looking forward and speaking of betting with the bods, and what are we looking at for tomorrow night's game versus the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Man, I don't have a lot of confidence that the Leafs are going to pull out a win. They've been doing too well.
Currently the odds, the Lightning the Leafs are the underdog. And the best odds right now are +120 from BetSafe. So
that's for the Leafs?
Yeah, Leafs are underdogs right now going into this game. Because Lightning have also been playing well of late.
Well, one thing you'll know about the Buds is we're only going to bet for the Leafs to win. I will never bet against the Leafs.
Yeah.
And with those odds, maybe I'll throw some money down.
See, the thing is that I don't have BetSafe, so I actually got to look through and see if I can find the best odds for one of the apps that I actually have downloaded. And so by doing that, I can scroll through this list here on BetStamp and find that the sports books that I have downloaded, Betway is actually going to give me my best odds at +115, where most other books have it at 110 or 105. So as much as I'm not going to be able to take advantage of that 120 because I don't have that book, I am going to be able to take advantage of the 115 because I am. So I am actually going to take the Leafs, and I'm going to throw maybe $10 on that one.
Who'd you say had the best odds? Betway?
Betway, yeah, at plus 115.
I've got Betway, so I'll take advantage. But that's the thing. It shows the value in having multiple accounts so that you're not – if you only have one account and you just do all your betting with them, well, chances are you're leaving money on the table.
You are most definitely leaving money on the table, as we proved this week. We made the exact same bet, and we happened to both win, but you made more money because you picked the right book, right? So that's the benefit.
So thank you, BetStamp.
Thank you very much. All right, we got a couple more things to cover here.
How you been doing in fantasy?
Last week was pretty horrid.
Oh, no.
I got absolutely dumped on in every single league. And when I say dumped on, I mean, like, it was not pretty. I faced the first place team in the league, in our league last week, and got my butt trounced 10-1. Jeez. But it shows how well I've been doing because I'm still in second place in the league. So if I could take a 10-1 loss and still hold down second, I'm not that mad. And realistically, I'm having a pretty solid week this week as a comeback. So not, you know, it's fine.
Well, last week, you know, my goaltending was absolutely stellar. Well, I had Markstrom, Matt Murray, and Husso. And Husso posted two wins and a shutout. Murray had two wins, 2.0 goals against average, 937 save percentage. And Markstrom had the best week he's had all year with one win, 2.0 goals against average, and a 920 save percentage. And those are all pretty good.
Well, think about this, all right? I have three goalies, right? Ottinger, Shalgren, and Shesterkin. Who of those three do you think had the best numbers last week?
What were they again?
Jake Ottinger from Dallas, Ilya Shesterkin from the Rangers, and Eric Shalgren from the Leafs. Which of those three do you think had the best numbers last week?
Shalgren, because Shesterkin's been pretty trash lately. And, well, the Leafs have been winning with Shalgren.
Yeah, it was Shalgren and by a wide margin. Shalgren had a 197 and 920. And then Ottinger had a 362, 883. And Shesterkin had a 355, 900. Both of them were.
And who were your best and worst players of the week?
So I think my worst player is probably Ottinger. 362 and 883. Like, those are just brutal numbers. My best player was actually a free agent pickup, being Cam Addison from the Minnesota Wild. A goal, two assists, plus two, four shots, and a block from a defenseman.
Cam Addison, not Atkinson?
No, Addison. Oh. Sorry, Kalen Addison. Kalen Addison.
I was going to say.
Sorry, I just thought C. I just assumed it was Cam.
Man, last week I finally had one of my better players break out, which was Jordan Kyrou. And he had 6 points for me last week. But on the flip side, Sam Bennett was my worst player last week. 0 points on the board for the week. And, like, that's just not acceptable. So, you know, when you have when you have those types of players, it's important that the good ones are producing. But you got to keep an eye on which players are doing well, which players are not, because, well, Sam Bennett had a bad week, so next time I, you know, see an enticing free agent and I want to pick them up, well, guess who might be on the chopping block? It's somebody who has a bad week. And, you know, you got to keep an eye on these players weekly so that you know how to proceed when you're managing your team. You always got to make sure you're starting your players, of course. But also trying to go for high value picks. And I mean, one of the players I recently picked up was Matty Beniers from the Seattle Kraken, who has a bit of a dark horse. I mean, he's a rookie, right? So you never really know what you're going to get out of him. But the guy has 21 points. And how do you not take him? So, instead of dropping Sam Bennett, who had that bad year, I dropped Mason Marchment, who also has not been doing well, and got Matty Beniers, who has 21 points on the season, and he was a free agent. So,
but do you really think the Kraken are going to keep this up?
I mean, they're in an easier division.
They are. They are. And I mean, I picked up Eberle in one of these pools too. So like I'm on that boat as well. I also picked up Vince Dunn in one of my pools too, because he's been really solid too, right? So
all I need Beniers to do is play better than Mason Marchment.
And this the thing is, the Stars might, it seems like they're picking it up lately. So
they are, but Marchment hasn't. He had a great start to the season. That's why I picked him up. But he fell off. I also have Tyler Seguin, who has been very consistent.
Yeah, I have Heiskanen and Ottinger. So, and I have Roope Hintz in one of the pools too, and he's been a fucking gem, a gem. But how will we close it out with our buds or duds?
I mean, the buds. I think it has to be. There's only one option. Well, actually, no. You know, there's the obvious option, which one of us has to name. But let's do the duds.
Ooh. The duds first. Bad news first. Okay. My dud is going to be Alex Kerfoot.
Why?
Because for a guy who's making $3.5 million and playing in our third line and taking shifts up on the top six, to only have one goal so far is a fucking travesty. The fact that he's getting outscored by Nick Robertson, who has played like a third of the games that Kerfoot has and doesn't get any power play time, is a joke. So Kerfoot needs to fucking pick it up. And I know I gave him a shout out for the positive movements in the last game, but generally he has been a pylon and have done absolutely nothing in most of these games. The fact that he has one goal through 25 games is just unacceptable. So he would be my dud.
You know, fair enough. And, well, I've got Pierre Engvall as my dud. I kind of alluded to it earlier. Yes, he scored a nice goal. But overall, he needs to be better. Like, his defensive side of the game needs to be better. And, you know, we talked about him in the preseason episode where we liked his progress last year, and the only way he's going to get better is if he continues on that same trajectory, and he just hasn't. He seemed to digress a little bit, and you don't like to see that. Because like he's 26 now, he's getting to the point where he kind of is what he is.
Yep.
So he's got to turn it around quick if he wants to have a spot on this team.
Agreed. Remember early I told you that people keep offering me for Nylander?
Yeah.
I just got another trade offer in the middle of this episode. Someone offered me Elias Pettersson for Nylander. Straight trade.
Is plus minus category?
It is. Pettersson's plus 3.
That's surprising.
Has 11 goals, 16 points, 8 power plays, 79 shots, 19.
I still wouldn't do it one for one.
I'm not doing it because Nylander has more goals still. So, but let's head on to the butts.
The butts. Are you going to take the easy one or the hard one? You can have the easy one.
Our Mitch Marner. I mean, do I really even need to say why? Like, 18 games in a row, franchise record. Like, the guy's roll over a point per game. Like, if you look at the calendar year of 2022, he's, like, second in the league behind McDavid for points. It's just...
But he's ridiculous. Been a stud. He's been a stud.
As steady as you can get as far as NHL players are concerned. So, yeah, like, Mitch Marner, unquestionably.
Yeah, I can't argue with that at all. But I got another one. Matt Murray.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Matt Murray, baby. He's back from injury, and he is back with a vengeance. He's been playing some great hockey for the Leafs. And as Sheldon Keefe said, they're getting elite goaltending from him, not just average NHL goaltending.
And there was a couple of games in there where he like won the game for us because he played unreal.
And he's made a few like highlight reel saves.
10 bells, for sure. Brings us back to the preseason, that save against Montreal.
I've liked what I've seen, but I'm very happy that Samsonov's back because now we can give Murray the rest that he will need.
Agreed. And I think like if we can find that balance between the two of them for the rest of the season, I feel like we're going to be just fine. And I'm really curious to see who, if any, truly takes the reins because now we really got a battle. Like they're both performing really well. Both of them held strong when the other one was down. And at this point, it's a neck and neck battle. And I'm really curious to see when we get to March, who's going to be the game one starter.
Matt Murray, yeah. You heard it here first.
You're saying it here now, but as it stands right now, that has not been clearly determined.
It'll still be Matt Murray.
All right. Noodles thinks it'll be Samsonov.
Well, fuck Noodles.
The guy who was a goalie in NHL, you know, but whatever.
Yeah, what does he know?
What does he know? He just covers the game of all sports.
Hey, I played goalie once in my life.
You must know everything about the position then, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For those of you who couldn't catch that, that was sarcasm. I don't know shit about playing goalie.
Sarcasm is wonderful. But at the end of the day, it's been a wonderful ride here for the Maple Leafs. I hope they can keep it going against the Lightning tomorrow, but I'm a little scared that it's going to be a bit of a letdown. First time playing them since last year's playoffs. But the Leafs are playing well. They've given themselves some room in their division. They've kind of settled into the season and really ripped off a wonderful November just like they did last year. Now let's hope that December and January go much better than they did last year. Because if you remember last year, December, January were pretty iffy because that was where Jack Campbell started to fall off a cliff. So we're hoping.
Good thing he's with the Oilers.
Yeah. He didn't even make it back up that cliff. He fucking fell. He's at the bottom with all his bones broken. Like,
and
what?
Still got a 5x5 deal.
Boy, am I happy we avoided that fucking tire fire. Holy.
I expected it to be a few years before that deal looked this bad.
Yeah. Yeah, same. But at the end of the day, everything's working. Everything's running like a well-oiled machine. I'm just trying not to get too high, you know? Staying even keeled.
We are
Leafs
fans.
To keep this going. And we need a better December, January than we had last year so we can start to try and challenge Boston for that top tier, top of the division. Because they were running away with it, and we've closed the gap, but we got to keep that going. We haven't closed the gap enough.
Oh, I'm confident Boston will fall off.
That's what we kept saying every fucking year, and they just keep fucking winning. So
they're not winning the division.
I hope so. I hope the Leafs do, because I put some money on them. on the Leafs winning the whole Eastern Conference.
Using BetStamp, right? You got the best odds on that.
Yeah, I've 5-1 odds for the Leafs to win. So if I think about $20 down, about $120, fire me up. But at the end of the day, we're the Bods, and it'll always be, and you'll always hear it here first. Just go. Leafs, go.